Vocabulary is not your typical word of the day podcast. We don't just define words, we contextualize them in terms of their history, etymology, politics, and aesthetics. In other words, we look at the culture behind words. I'm here with Abe.
Hey.
Efren.
Yo.
Aaron.
Kumasa.
And me. I'm Renee. And in the background we have Josh.
Hi.
Today's word is
defenestrate. But before we get to that, you should probably tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on the podcast. This is a dream come true, really. a little bit about myself. Well, I know all you guys from our job, at least a few of our jobs, teaching writing at college. And I'm just really excited. I wrote in to the podcast about, so I'm a fan and a person who follows up. And I wrote into the podcast
the
about this word.
Part, you follow up.
Right? Yeah.
I think I'd heard your name before many times probably, so this is my first time meeting you though. So,
yeah.
But I was also in the same program with all these beasts here.
It's a good program.
Yeah.
I feel like right now we have what's called flow. You know, where it's just like the words are rolling off of our tongues.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for you to do all the hard work. You
know? Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we get about, how much is it? Maybe 200 to 300 emails a week about our podcast. But we, you know, we chose this one because of the really great word it had. And so we really want to encourage people to write in. I mean, we have a lot, but we want even more. We want to get to the 300 to 400 emails a week range. It's lofty. We know this, but you know, we got to shoot for the stars. So wanted to encourage everyone out there to email us, please.
Yeah. I just feel lucky that I got picked for this. This word was something I just kind of stumbled upon while I was reading a profile.
So you came up with this word.
I did.
So this podcast is your fault.
That is correct.
If you want the podcast to be your fault as well, and sit in the host seat.
Yeah, send us an email, and you might be on the podcast.
You got to check out the green room. It's amazing.
Yeah, so how'd you choose this word again? Or what interested you about this word?
Well, I hadn't heard it before, and I was reading a profile on Benjamin Dreyer, who is a kind of a grammar guru, and he works as a copy editor at Random House, and he has very strong opinions about which words he wants to include in his novels, or the ones that he at least, you know, copy edits. And so he just published a book sort of about like his rules and regulations, and this was one of his favorite words, and he said for the specificity. I don't know if we've actually said what this word means yet, though.
Not like, yet, but I mean, I like you can keep talking about
listeners
it.
Listeners are waiting in suspense. Okay. I don't know. I'm kind of an eager beaver. but yeah, I'd never heard it before, and I was sort of intrigued by it. So hopefully it will be intriguing to our listeners.
All right. So our word is defenestrate. So I should spell that, right?
Please.
D-E-F-E. N-E-S-T-R-A-T-E, defenestrate. And that's my practice for the spelling bee, by the way.
Can we, before we do the definition, can we actually show the audience what defenestrate is? Okay, get ready. You're going out the window. Okay, ready? One, two.
Josh, we need some kind of sound effect for this.
You
right?
Just did it. You missed it.
Wait, what? No, do it again. No, okay. It's just... Never mind.
We have to wait for him to get back to this floor.
All right. The outside.
Come back in so we can throw you out the window.
Okay, I'm back.
All right, throw him out, Aaron.
Okay, ready? One, two.
All right, so defenestrate, the action of throwing out of a window. Who came up with that word? Seriously. Like, somebody just had, like, violent thoughts, and I was like, I should come up with a word for this violent thought that I'm having. I should give it a name. Throwing somebody out a window. So that's what defenestrate means.
And that's where we're left here.
Yeah.
So please.
All right. So obviously we have the root word, right? So the root word is a Latin word. It's fenestra, which means window. And then, you know, you add all the other stuff. You get the prefix and the suffix and all that, you know, which is typical, of course. And it's actually a word that was invented to describe something that happened in Europe's religious, political history, specifically related to the Holy Roman Empire. And of course, it involves throwing people out of windows, because that's what you do when you want to start a political religious war. You throw people out of windows.
I can get down with that.
It seems better than other ways to go. And also, you know, more visually stimulating.
It probably feels like being on a roller coaster or something like that. I mean, I don't know.
For a second, and then it feels like something else.
Yeah.
Thud.
It's a thud if you land on a pile of garbage, which happened, and that's actually one of the stories we need to get to. But, yeah.
What does a cobblestone thud sound like? A cracking skull?
I don't know. Where do cobblestones exist in LA?
Well, they didn't have like concrete in 16th century Germany, so I'm going with what they might have had.
Right.
Okay, so, the dirt road, okay.
All right. So I mentioned that fenestra is a Latin word. It means window. And I have no idea how we get the Spanish word ventana then. Because ventana doesn't sound like fenestra.
F and V. Yeah, I guess you can maybe just change it. Yeah,
right. You could probably...
Ventana.
Ventana, okay.
But it sounds better to say ventana.
I should look that up. But I can totally buy that.
The one thing you're supposed to do.
No, I mean, we're talking English here, so, you know, I'm kind of just leaving the Spanish stuff to the side for a bit. But anyway, so we have the word fenestration, which is a noun. Fenestration actually has to do with, it's an architectural term, so it has to do with the arrangement of windows, you know, and how to go about arranging windows or designing them and all that, you know, so there's that.
Oh, it's like stained glass windows, right? Not just that, but...
Okay, but fenestra doesn't just have to do with, like, glass, right?
The whole frame.
The little wall or flimsy apparatus that's covering the outside and inside, right? Or, I mean, creating a barrier between outside and inside. Because fenestra in Latin just means an opening. So, or a carving. And actually, that fenestra... Fenestral is a word that's actually used in biology to describe any kind of holes that are made. So, you know, like in surgery, they can talk about, you know, fenestration because they're like making a hole in your body or something like that. Or any kind of apertures or openings. So I suppose you could call your nasal cavity a kind of fenestra or window, if you would. So any kind of openings in your body would be referred to as fenestras in biology. So you actually have those two, right? So we have architecture, it's used in architecture, and then it's used in biology. But defenestration, again, specifically created because we're talking about religious political wars. So I feel like I have to rely on Aaron anytime it comes to history. So Aaron, how good are you with Holy Roman Empire history?
Fair to moderately good.
Fair to moderately good. Okay. Anyone else here a scholar of that history?
No.
I second that. No.
Okay. Well, I feel like I'm going to do a lot of explaining right now, but just, you know, cut me off if anything's confusing or just stop me anytime to tell a joke.
Oh, please. Don't worry about that.
So, okay. So... what we really need to talk about are the two defenestrations of Prague. And for some reason, throwing people out of windows is a Prague-ish thing, or Prague-ish. Prague-ish? Prague-ish?
I want to say Prague-ish, but okay. for a long time.
It can be a Bohemian thing? No?
Bohemian, yes.
That's a Bohemian thing.
There you go.
If you're a Bohemian, you got to learn how to throw people out of windows. Right. So... So you'll know that... You'll remember, of course, that, you know, in the, you know, like... 14th, 15th century, even as far back as the 13th century, I would say, you know, Europe was going through a period of growing religious reformation. So you had a lot of writers who were protesting the Catholic Church and its corruption. So, you know, we have John Wycliffe, and later you get Martin Luther and then John Calvin and all that, right? But John Wycliffe is the character we want to talk about briefly because he influenced a Bohemian named John Huss. And Huss began a kind of reformation, revolution / political movement in Bohemia. And it was basically protesting all the corruption of the Catholic Church. And, you know, the Catholic Church is selling, like, sacraments, you know? So, like, only certain people could afford to do the sacraments. The clergy is corrupt, you know? I mean, it's corrupt today, but, you know, you get my point. Anyway, the point is that they started protesting and they really wanted some kind of, like, religious or spiritual renewal. So, John Huss ended up being the leader of this Reformation movement at this time in the 1410s, 1420s. And what essentially happens is that somebody gets thrown out a window and you have a religious war on your hand between the followers of John Huss, who were also influenced by John Wycliffe, and the Catholic Church.
So, the great Prague defenestration of 1414 or whatever.
1419 to 1434 are the Hussite Wars in Bohemia. They're named the Hussite Wars after John Huss. So,
why did he feel the name to change his name? Just curious. Wycliffe doesn't roll off the tongue as much as Huss.
Who changed his name? Wycliffe?
Yeah.
No, Wycliffe didn't change his name. I'm saying that John Huss was influenced by John Wycliffe.
Okay, so Wycliffe begat Huss, okay, got it.
Yes, please, the holy genealogies. And
Methuselah, 969 years.
That was my favorite Simpsons joke, by the way.
Wow, a Methuselah rookie card!
I didn't see that one, but I was referring to the Lovejoy one where he says something like, and Methuselah begat...
Oh, yeah.
Whoever, and then just keeps going.
Joseph of Arimathea.
All right. So where was I at? I forgot.
1419 to 1430, the Hussian Wars.
All right. So a Hussite priest and his congregation marched to town hall for the release of Hussite prisoners, right? So obviously these people who want the Catholic Church to reform end up getting imprisoned. You know, for their religious
heresy.
Yeah, for their new heresies, right? Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, so the Hussites, they decide that they want their religious political prisoners released. They go to town hall. Their prisoners are denied bail or freedom. And then somebody throws a rock at one of the Hussite leaders or the priests, and his name was Jan Zalewski.
Jan.
Okay, great. Thank you. Keep correcting me, by the way, because I'm going to mispronounce all these names.
I was born Eurotrash, so.
Jan Zalewski. All right, so at that point, after the rock gets thrown, the congregation becomes a mob, you know, the people who are, you know, at this protest, they become a mob and they storm town hall and they throw the judge out the window, yes, the burgomaster and anybody else who was involved and who was there at the town hall. So they throw them out the window and that's how you get the beginning of the Hussite Wars. I mean, I don't need to get into like, you know, how these wars really ended up, you know, like who fought who and all of that. I think the point is that that war, it ended in 1434, but it continues several centuries later when we get the second defenestration of Prague. Again, Bohemians love throwing people out windows for some reason. So when we get to the first Hussite Wars ends in some kind of compromise. But of course, you know, the Reformation doesn't stop there. We get Martin Luther and again, John Calvin later on. And by the time we get to the 17th century, we get another defenestration that ends up in the 30 Years War.
How long was that war?
Maybe 35 years? No. That's what I thought. It was 30 years.
The 100 Years War was actually 113, I think.
Yeah. Some of these names are weird. But the 30 Years War was actually 30 years, 1618 to 1648. This one is a similar situation. It's, you know, the reformers versus the Catholic Church and its corruption. So it's really a war between Protestants and Catholics at this time. And the Holy Roman Emperor Ferdinand II, he's on the throne. He wants to impose Catholicism on everyone. And of course, the Protestants are not having it, you know, because why would they? Their names indicates that they're protesters. Okay, so anyway, there's so much history here that I feel like I'm boring Aaron.
Oh, it's just because I've heard it all.
He hasn't heard it all.
I was waiting for you to get to Henry VIII and Martin Luther, but yeah, we don't have to go that far.
No, there's no throwing out windows there, though. Nobody's getting
defenestrated. There's only throwing out precedent and, you know, morals and...
If anything, I would ask, like, okay, what is the French way of killing people? Like, if there's a French way of doing that, like, what is it? Is it like the guillotine? Yeah, the guillotine. Okay. And
what about but that didn't happen until the 18th century, though.
What about the Brits? How do they? What's their way of killing
brown people? Brown sauce.
Yeah, that's better than that. Muffins? I was going to say genocide, but okay.
Oh, no.
Colonialism.
A lot worse. Yeah.
Slow death. The slow death of colonialism.
Colonialism might be it. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So, again, May 23, 1618, Ferdinand II sends forth Catholic lords to Prague and Bohemia because he needs to talk to the Protestants. And the Protestants assemble and they ask these Catholics, you know, who's responsible for the emperor's letter? And the emperor's letter is just a reference to the fact that the emperor had written a letter that wouldn't allow Protestants to continue building on their own lands. So it was a way of deterring them, and the Protestants weren't having it. So once again, they threw out a bunch of Catholics out of a window. The difference between this defenestration and the first one is that the people who were defenestrated landed on a garbage pile and survived the fall.
Yeah, I had actually a question about defenestration, which is, was it an act intended to, like, kill the person? Like, how many floors up? Like, or was it... No, I'm really serious. It's funny, but I'm also serious because, like, was it meant to kill the person, or was it just meant as, like, a sort of, like, injury or insult or, like...
No, it was... meant as murder.
It was meant as murder.
Yeah.
Oh, so then falling on the trash was actually like good fortune.
Divine providence.
Right, because they didn't... So when the Protestants threw out the Catholics the second time around in the 17th century, they didn't realize there was a big old garbage heap there. So, yeah.
Symbolically, they survived the fall. Symbolically it worked nice, but yeah, it didn't have the effect, the intended effect.
What would be the symbolism there or the meaning of it?
Throw the Catholics on the garbage pile.
Yeah, I guess.
Throw the Protestants, right? Oh, no, the Protestants are throwing the Catholics. They started, and they just brush themselves off. All right.
We might need to throw Protestants off. No, I shouldn't say that, right?
I'm going to avoid all jokes about Protestant and Catholics and the Catholic Church.
Let's just put it this way.
Let's not.
Let's put it this way. There needs to be defenestrations on many sides. Many sides. Yes. Both sides.
Yes. I keep thinking about this weird bit of gossip that I know about Martin Luther. Who ended up marrying his wife. He stole her from a nunnery and basically forced her to marry. So I bet she would want to defenestrate him. We'll have to talk about the verb.
A nunnery meaning she was Catholic.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was Catholic too, right?
That's right. Originally.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't think she willingly went with him. I think he was like, I'm going to save you.
So it was probably like many marriages happened back then, right? Like
it was typical of
over the shoulder. Here we go.
Yep.
All right, go ahead. What?
I was going to ask if people knew about the story of the defenestration of Vanilla Ice, the rapper.
Ooh,
a literal one or?
Yeah. Well, what other kind of defenestration is there?
Well, because I think defenestration is used metaphorically now. So anytime you oust someone from office, it's referred to as a defenestration.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the fact, well, most people know that Vanilla Ice doesn't own the rights to Ice Ice Baby. It's Suge Knight. Suge Knight owns them, right? And supposedly, really? Yeah, the reason why he owns them is because he barged into Vanilla Ice's hotel room and he threatened to defenestrate him off like a 18-floor like hotel. Whoa. Right? And
allegedly,
right? Allegedly. Yeah, I wouldn't want to make enemies of Suge Knight or Vanilla Ice, yeah. Especially, right? And I know the hate mail is going to come in for me talking bad about Vanilla Ice, but there was but yeah, they were going to throw him out of the window if he didn't give them the rights or the, what is it called, the masters to Ice Ice Baby. So
wow.
So this still goes on today, right?
Well, the only defenestrations I knew about when it came to the music industry was TVs getting thrown out hotel windows.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Zeppelin, Stones, yeah, take your pick.
The Who.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Moon the Loon, yeah.
Yeah, I think Keith Moon is the most famous defenestrator of TVs. All right.
I had another question for you guys. When you're doing your research, Abe, where are you finding all this info?
Stop, you're giving away trade secrets.
Oh, okay. Maybe for a behind the pod podcast.
No, I actually have a subscription to the Oxford English Dictionary. I think you all do too, right? If you guys teach
at
the university, so you should all have...
We have you to do the research, though.
Yeah, so I have a subscription to that. And I think it's a lot more reliable than other dictionaries that are online. Even though some of them are really good. But I think I find more things on the OED than anywhere else.
More useful things.
We're taking a break, but when we come back, we're going to the literature corner with F. Each episode of Extreme Vocabulary features a piece of literature that uses today's word. Efren, what did you find for us today?
Well, as some people might know, I work very hard for this podcast and try not to get emotional, but
it's all right, buddy. We feel you.
Let it out.
But after about 30 hours of research into this word, I was able to find a piece of literature which I'm going to read an excerpt from. And you know, sometimes we have old legendary writers from the 19th century, and sometimes, like today, we have a contemporary writer. So I'm really kind of excited to talk about their work and an excerpt from their work. So today I'm going to be reading from In Through a Door, Out a Window by Elijah Matthew Tubbs, and this is out of the Passages North, a literary journal. So without further ado, let me start. Defenestrate. As in have a nice life. Defenestrate, as in Francois the tabby cat swung out of a window by Dastardly Laurent. Defenestrate, as in reality television as quality entertainment. Defenestrate, as in milk blue as in breast milk, as in a child, as in an Omaha defenestration. Defenestrate, as in bohemian vibral, feeding songbirds, as in death. Defenestrate, as in tomorrow. Or yesterday, as in a time machine. Defenestrate, as in MK Ultra, as in Stranger Things, as in a few, quote, wrongful deaths. Defenestrate, as in the canary who could sing but couldn't fly. Defenestrate, as in a poltergeist, as in broken televisions. Broken televisions, as in shattered glass, as in irate X's from a second-story window. Defenestrate, as in Eutychus, as in Apostle Paul's outstandingly boring traits. Eutychus, as in fortunate, as in true bamboo. Defenestrate, as in two different stories. A fall or a throw. Defenestrate, as in mainly suicide. Suicide, as in depression, as in Pierre Q. Defenestrate, as in poetic inspiration.
Cool. I don't know what he means by the words as in. Is he creating an equation between defenestrate and everything else?
it seems like that might be part of the way this is operating, right? It's using like a consistent kind of metaphoric structure, right? And it's also repetitive structure, obviously.
Right. I mean, but he didn't say defenestrate is, and then, you know, the whole list that you read off. But he says defenestrate as in. So I'm wondering I'm having trouble understanding what that meaning of just those two words are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's like the Miltonic or?
The Miltonic or? What do you mean?
You don't know the Miltonic or?
No. What?
You're a smart guy. You know, as in
John Milton?
Yes. Where, you know, Paradise Lost, he's like, you know, he would say, oh, I wish I had a passage in front of me, but, and then the angel jumped, or Satan jumped to the highest tree in the garden, as if he was blah, 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 or blah, 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 or something, or this. There's always an or in practically every stanza comparing.
Oh, is that like his extended similes or something like
yes,
that?
Okay. Yes, that's what it is.
But he doesn't say, well, the poet, who's the poet again? Ephron?
Yeah, it's Elijah Matthew Tubbs.
Okay, so Tubbs.
Tubbs.
Tubbs doesn't say defenestrate like. I mean, he's using as, but, you know.
He's using as in.
As in.
Hmm.
I don't know. Well, I'm a bad reader of poetry, maybe.
Well, look at the title, In, Out. Okay.
As in Omaha. I mean, I thought he was using it as sort of a different analogies, the way, like, metaphorically you're throwing something out. I mean, we even talked about literally throwing out the TV from the window. And just, it's almost like this stream of consciousness where he sort of is taking one thing to the next. It was interesting. The one that stood out to me was defenestrate as in a poltergeist, as in broken television. So obviously I'm thinking poltergeist, like literally that
movie,
reference.
The movie, yeah.
And then as in broken televisions, and then we get to irate exes. Like it seemed like it was sort of this, I don't know, like journey down some kind of heartbroken speaker's lane. So when he says as in, I felt like he sort of was like dipping in and out of sort of these different pieces of his memory. And then obviously there's other, I don't know, like he's seeing how it plays out across, you know, these like larger references and then these like smaller, more personal sort of peaks into the speaker's past.
Yeah. And then just to be clear to the listeners, this is an excerpt. I mean, this is the kind of the bulk. This is the sort of bulkiest part of this prose poem. But there is more to this as well that I would encourage people to like look up if they're interested. But yeah, I think that's a good point.
Well, that one where he says defenestrate, again, you're right. We're just looking at a small part of this, but as in two different stories, a fall or a throw. I love that because I feel like, I don't know, there's just so much to unpack there. Like, did you push? Were you pushed? This is going back to, who's that guy, Jim, who jiggled the tree. What was that piece like? What's the famous book where we don't know if he was pushed or he fell?
A separate piece.
Thank you. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe I'm bringing a lot of literary baggage, but
how dare you?
How dare I?
That's cool because that's the whole point of the segment.
That's right. Connotative baggage. But yeah, I really liked this. It definitely made me think.
Well, I guess that's what I'm getting to, right? Is this some kind of list of things that should be defenestrated, like just thrown out? Is it, or does he like, if the speaker, right, or the poet in this case is just kind of like letting his imagination, you know, go, do we get instances of things that really are not being defenestrated, but just maybe like remind him of throwing something out, whether it be out of a window or just anything, or again, I still wonder about how we read that as in defenestration, as in, and then we get a baby somewhere in there. Are we defenestrating babies?
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Okay. Do we get a water reference after that baby in the poem?
Huh? I don't know.
Oh. You get blue milk, so that's like water.
That can go a lot of different ways, my goodness.
Yeah.
We'll be here all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot.
That's at least three lectures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that in this little stanza, the first sentence is defenestrate as in have a nice life, right? And then the second one is a very like literal, right? It's defenestrate as in Francois the tabby cat swung out of a window by Dastardly Laurent. So it's like a very like, that's defenestration by definition, right?
Right.
But then the first one's have a nice life. Like that's almost like
that's a way of throwing someone out the door when you've broken up with them or something like that, right?
Yeah, like it's less literal. The second one's very literal. The third one is now he gets into like defenestrate as in reality television as quality entertainment. Now he's getting into like some kind of social commentary, right? About entertainment. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that it is very stream of consciousness, I think, right? It's
You could easily replace the term defenestrate with 86 too.
With what?
86.
What's that?
He knows what I mean, right, Efren?
Yeah, I've been 86 from
a person bar can be 86,
twice in my life.
Yeah, a person can be 86. That is case in point, or a food item can be 86.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. The I've been thrown out of better joints than this.
Oh, my quote was I've been thrown out of some of the finest institutions. No, yeah, 86 means they're out, right?
Yeah,
it's when you're out of something.
I think 86. Yeah. It means nix it, take it off the menu.
Take it off the menu. Yeah, right. Because they're out of the usually because they're out of the ingredient.
Yeah.
What do you guys think the lasting cultural meaning of defenestration is, if anything?
The Germans.
That just sums it up. Well, the Germans.
The Bohemians were, you know, actually the Czechs. Okay, more so, but right next door to Germany, my people. They probably they threw people out windows. My people threw people through tables. Okay, and maybe there was some cross, you know, influence there too. But yeah, das Fenster is the window in German. Die Fenestrate.
Das Fenster?
Das Fenster. Ah, that's like one of the only words I remember. Well, actually, no, the table is der Tisch. Yeah.
It's funny because that question made me think of, like, are windows that are, like, able to be open, are those, like, going to go out of style? Like, I mean, no, I'm serious. Like, in the future, like, it seems like most windows are, like, guarded in a way more it's more difficult to throw somebody out of a window nowadays. I don't know,
somebody's more likely to throw themselves.
It sounds like a challenge,
right? those bars are narrow.
I would say that's at least our experience here in LA, right, with barred windows everywhere or something.
Yeah. Well, that's a security thing usually. Yeah. Too. Yeah.
Right, it's less aesthetic. I wonder though, do we still defenestrate anything? We were talking about this during the break a little bit.
Sewage in the past, but that's, yeah, we got toilets now.
Well, just it's sort of the, oh God, sorry, I just had an image when you said that, but how would we use defenestrate or defenestrated as a verb today?
Well, I think my question would be, what do you call it when someone throws themselves out of a window?
Auto defenestration.
Auto defenestration.
Auto erotic defenestration.
That's the part I missed.
We've just started something here.
Well, actually, because you know, there's always that Simpsons joke, you know, where somebody freaks out and jumps out a window.
Yeah,
that was one of my favorite gags.
Over often, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like screams, and then like jumps out of the window, and you hear the window break, like.
Psh. Yeah, it's like whenever when he goes to like Alcoholics Anonymous, and like after this program, you'll never have a drink again, and he yells, and he jumps out the window and he runs away.
So how did Barney do it yet Homer couldn't?
Because I feel like that's actually the phenomenon of our time. I feel right. It's like, I'm sorry to make it serious, but you know, it's like suicide.
Get me out of here.
Right, it's a desperation, right? A moment of desperation that people, I think, are feeling.
Sure.
And, you know, they're at their jobs or whatever, you know? And obviously, a lot of people work in buildings, so there's kind of just desire of just throwing yourself out the window or something like that, you know?
The Bourne Identity, the very first movie, he's fighting one of the other guys that's on the same kind of, you know, what do you call it, the mind control that he is in Italy, I think it's Rome. And he's fighting them in the hotel room, and they're up, you know, pretty high up, a few floors. And then the guy, he beats him up basically and knocks him out. And then the guy gets up, and then he's like a robot. He gets up, and then he runs, but it doesn't look like it's like he's pulled. And then he basically defenestrates himself to prevent, you know, being questioned or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember he uses a pen, too, to fight that guy off.
Oh, God, I forgot.
And my mom made a little pun joke. She was like, the power of the pen. I was like, stop.
Mightier than the sword.
That's the best joke anyone's told today. So that's not.
Thanks, but it's mom. When you, it's your folks that do it as well. It's like, oh.
Put her in the credits. Like, we have to, like, yeah.
Well done.
I guess, like, what about flicking a cigarette out a car window?
Defenestrate that cigarette.
Is that defenestration? Because I feel like throwing oneself out a window is not the fashion by which people commit suicide, is it? I mean, I don't know. I feel like hanging and shooting themselves is like more common.
And poison.
Poison.
I think that's the most common.
Probably is poison. Probably the worst way to overdosing on some kind of pill, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Don't do it, guys. Don't do it.
I wonder if any current defenestrations might trigger a new revolution or reformation of some kind.
Then we wake
because,
up.
Because the second defenestration of Prague resulted in the 30 Years' War, and that ultimately resulted, I'm not going to get into the whole history thing, but it resulted in a shift in power in Europe, because before that, the Holy Roman Empire, had all the power, and that was in Central Europe. But then after the 30 Years' War, we had the shift in power to France and, later Britain and all that. But, it's possible that, little acts of violence like that can lead to...
You want a return, physical actual defenestrations? You want to return to that?
I have a friend who wants the return of the guillotine.
Well, everybody wants what they want to extremes all the time, yeah. But it's like, what's plausible here? What's feasible? Can we do more defenestrations or not?
I mean, I kind of like the symbolic sort of like that was a symbolic move to defenestrate, right? It meant that one wanted to change things, right? Is that am I right in saying that or no?
Sure. I think we can read it that way now.
It was a signal. I kind of like those. Like, I like the whole, when you're going to have a duel and you slap somebody with, a glove, which I don't even know if that's true. Like, I don't even know if that's historically accurate, but I like it. It's like, this means that we're going to have a duel or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, slapping somebody on the face with a glove or with
even without a glove, yeah.
That was the ultimate disrespect, and somebody had to die at that point.
Yeah. Try doing that to somebody today, see what happens.
Yeah. It's still right. It holds up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, now it's more like you step on somebody's shoes.
You stepped on my Jordans.
It's like, I so many times I've been at a bar and I've accidentally stepped on someone's shoes, and just pissed off at me.
And then you got 86'd.
Yeah. And then I got 86'd. That's actually kind of true. But no, that wasn't one of
the I have a new move. 86'd. Like, I haven't tried it yet and I don't want to, but if it ever happens, I'm just going to do a weird move. Like, I'm just going to kind of get up against them and put my huge body against them. And what are you going to do now? Huh? And if they try to resist, then I can fight back, right? But just kind of make them uncomfortable, you know?
You mean if you kinda step on their shoes or if they step on your shoes?
No shoes involved. I would just kind of do
reenactment.
This feels oddly sexual.
Yeah, it's a dominant move.
Yeah, it's...
All dominant moves are oddly sexual.
Yes. That's the point.
So we could never have a podcast without mentioning Henry VIII or sexual innuendo. Doesn't matter what the word is. It just...
See, anytime I do something bad or is just not pleasing, it's his fault. He made me do it.
And by him, he means me.
Yes.
He's pointing at me.
I've been holding my phone for 10 minutes. I really want to read this sentence. So here we go. The overwhelming view is that he should be defenestrated before the next election. I like that. I think I also like the idea of you guys saying there's sort of a out with the old, in with the new, literally throwing someone out a window. Mm-hmm. I bet a lot of people would want to do that too. Some politicians that they don't appreciate. And that's how we should do it from now on, I think. Instead of just graciously accepting defeat or whatever it is, the opposing side just throws more the other one out the window. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it is very much like the throwing out the old bathwater or something out the window like they used to do in the days of yore, right? So we could do that. Let's say we had a president we didn't like. Hypothetically, we should just find a way to defenestrate him, either symbolically or literally. I'm talking about anyone in particular, but any president of any United States country.
Just make sure there's enough trash on the ground.
Right? Or we could have a symbolic kick in the butt, right? It's like you got voted out, and so somebody now has to give you a kick in the butt. as you walk out or something like that, right?
I feel like someone somewhere did that, like some kind of really? Group or something.
Yeah, the Australian Simpsons episode, the booting.
Oh. Yes, the booting. And they wore like a huge boot.
Yeah, a giant
boot. For the tradition.
I'm just realizing we should like hashtag The Simpsons on almost every episode that we do because we always make Simpsons references.
Such a big part of the show.
Yeah, it is like a really big part of the show when you think about it.
The culture
is
like 90s people, man.
All right, well, we'll be right back to choose today's song. On each episode of Extreme Vocabulary, we choose a song to go out with. Usually the song will relate to the word in some way.
Usually.
Sometimes. Not all the time.
If we're lucky.
There's some association. It's not just random, though. We usually have some kind of discussion.
We do our best. Let's put it that way.
I would say that if... it's defenestration is... or defenestrate is probably not in any songs, but... if the song has the word window in it somewhere, maybe it counts.
Oh, now I got another one in my head. Oh, thanks a lot. Well, I was thinking
of a window,
not a perfect one. In Through the Outdoor by Zeppelin, but that's the album, not a song.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't really work. And none of the songs on that album would work either. So.
Okay, so thank you for nothing.
No, I got another one. I got two in the chamber now. But, okay. I'm giving you guys an opportunity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Challenge me.
You have anything?
Step up.
No.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Okay, well, I got two. One's preferable, even though it doesn't have the song.
Wait a second. Before we go there, the other thing we have to mention on this podcast is the Beatles all the time.
We always do.
She came in through the bathroom window. But okay. That's not really defenestration. That's the reverse of defenestration.
It's when she fell on the garbage.
It's re-fenestration.
How do we beat that, though? Like, what song is better than that?
They're not better, but I've got two, like I said. Okay, so Psychedelic Furs, Love My Way. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because of the lyrics.
What do the lyrics say?
There's an army on the dance floor. Blah, 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 blah. In a room without a door. How do you get out of a room without a door?
Defenestration.
Exactly. It's a stretch, but it's what I came up with.
Okay.
And the other one, unfortunately, oh god. Come to my window.
My god, you sound just like her.
But that's actually, no, that's not out the window. It's like the same as Josh was implying, is refenestration.
It sounded like a cover to the song for like a Miller Lite commercial though or something. Like a Coors Light.
Got to be Coors Light because that's the worst of them all.
It's the banquet of beers.
Not the light one.
I mean, the Psychedelic Furs, it's a great song. I'll give it that.
It's the best song of the choices that were put forth, but yeah, I don't know. Now I don't know.
Could you sing the second one again, Aaron?
No, it was a one-shot deal.
No, I do want to hear that again because I want to see, what was it again?
Give me three cocktails and you'll hear it.
Come to my window and I will throw you out of it. That's a subtext.
That's the subtext.
That's what Melissa Etheridge was meant.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I don't even know what the second verse is.
I don't either.
Come to my window.
I'll be home soon.
Something.
But why is that? Sure. Light of the Moon. I actually know too much of that. Is she hiding? Okay, I'm going to go maybe too far here, but like, why not just go to the door, right? Is this like a secret romance? Yeah, like a secret lesbian romance?
Oh.
I don't know.
Analyzing lyrics. Terrible move. Always.
We didn't bring that up in the podcast. That's another sort of form of defenestration, which is like when somebody's like having sex in a room and then they have to like kind of almost like jump out the window because like the husband or the wife
it's autoerotic defenestration.
Yeah, but I don't think that's autoerotic.
That's
at that point
defenestration of survival.
Yeah,
I think that's the opposite of autoerotic, right? Because like they're in the mid act and then like the husband comes home and then the guy has to defenestrate himself out the window with like holding his jeans, right? It's like a cliche, but like we didn't talk about that, but now we
didn't talk about that, and now I'm thinking about Game of Thrones. Sorry, is it too soon? We still have a couple days.
Oh yeah, the child who gets when Bran,
he gets Bran gets defenestrated out the window.
True, I forgot about that.
Right?
The first episode.
Damn you, Jaime Lannister. But you know what? He's on his path to redemption, I think.
Oh, you all want to forgive Lannister so easy.
He's going to re-fenestrate.
All it took was 8 seasons, and now you're like, oh, he's a good
all
guy.
It took.
He's going to pull the baby back in the window.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of defenestrations in film and cartoons and stories. You know.
RoboCop.
What about it?
I feel like you always talk about RoboCop. I want to hear more.
Like, what are the last time was I forget why, but yeah. No, RoboCop was the what was the guy's name?
Oh, he defenestrates Ed 209.
No, Ed 209.
Oh no, Ed 209 can't get up the stairs.
Yeah, he just shot the hell out of him basically.
Clunky
with his,
robot.
Yeah, with his bazooka or whatever he had. You know, it was the CEO, that guy, Dick something. Yeah, it's always a Dick, right? Yeah, it wasn't, I forgot, there's two bosses, and he was, like, the lower of the two, but, yeah. And he gets, and then when he's thrown out the window, you see, like, clay arms, and it's so fake. Yeah.
Oh, that's the answer to your question. You had asked, what was the question you had asked? What is defenestration in our time, or what is it cultural
right.
mean?
Yeah.
It's probably just a TV trope, or a film trope, right? That's what it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's become a gag.
Yeah,
right. That's how it usually works, right? It went from something like really serious where people were literally losing their lives, and now it's just a joke.
Right.
It's 2019.
History becomes farce. You know. That's
right. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we just figured it all out.
Oh.
I figured out the world.
Yes.
Thank you.
The only thing we can't figure out is which song to actually choose for
nice.
This.
I gave you my options.
I think those are both good options, but I mean, I'm always partial to the Beatles, but I think we've used Beatles like several times already, haven't we, or no?
Well, at least two or three.
According once to or Josh. Twice, I think.
Two, maybe three times.
Once or twice. I favor Melissa Etheridge's song, but I don't know the psychedelic verse, but I don't have a problem with that song.
Okay. They're both pretty good. They're both good outro songs, definitely. They're melodic.
I'm leaning towards.
It's stuck in our heads now. I shouldn't have said anything.
Let's do it. It's in my head now too, and I'm
upset.
Should have
sang it.
Yeah. We don't pick songs here. The universe does, and we just roll with it.
I think we have a winner. Thanks for listening to Extreme Vocabulary. Our music is from Arnold Palmer, "Golf" by Tohiko Uwabo, and "Wagyan Paradise" by Erica Mora. The song is "Come to My Window" by Melissa Etheridge. Email us at extremevocabulary@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Instagram at extremevocab. I was Renee.
He was Efren.
Aaron is over here.
And I used to be at some other life, I think. In some other life. Abraham.
See you next time, and thanks, Josh.
Thank you, Renee.
Oh, non sequitur.
Come to my window. Crawl inside. Wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window. I'll be home soon. Keeping my eyes open now.